And now some news with far-reaching consequences, literally. From your kid days science class, you might remember a teacher telling you that where there's water, there's probably life. Now a study says interplanetary dust carried water and organic matter to Earth and possibly other terrestrial planets. The research is a combined effort of UH Manoa School of Ocean and Earth Science and Technology, Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, and Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, plus the University of California. UH researcher John Bradley is here with some of the explanation why the rest of us should be paying attention to this. Good morning.
Good morning.
This really is part of the big story of how life evolved on Earth.
Yes, it's certainly a relevant component. We studied these tiny interplanetary dust particles that we collect on the stratosphere using high-flying NASA U-2 aircraft. These particles originate from comets and asteroids. When they are released from these parent bodies, they go into solar orbit, and they spend about 10,000 years spiraling in towards the sun. Well, the Earth sweeps up some of these particles to the tune of about 40,000 tons a year. It's a lot of very, very tiny particles. They are the richest known extraterrestrial materials in organic carbon, and there is fairly robust evidence that life on Earth, the fundamental abiotic organic species that led to the evolution of life, actually were delivered in extraterrestrial materials.
But all this particulate matter is almost in a constant rain. I mean, it's been there for a long time. It continues to be there for a long time.
Yes, there's a constant black rain of very, very tiny particles raining down into the onto the upper atmosphere. On the early prebiotic Earth, we actually suspect that the flux of these particles was considerably higher, orders of magnitude more, very, very finely divided particulate matter.
When you say that, you know, it was responsible for helping to bring water to the Earth, I mean, we're not talking about oceans and oceans and oceans worth.
No, we're not. What we found was that during the 10,000 years these particles are in solar orbit, they're exposed to the solar wind. And the solar wind is made up predominantly of hydrogen ions. The particles are very rich in oxygen, in silicate minerals. The solar wind reacts with this oxygen to form very thin, small vesicles of water, H2O, in the surfaces of these particles. This is a surprise to us. We knew these particles carry a lot of organic matter to the Earth. Our finding is that not only do they carry organic matter, they also carry the second critical ingredient for life, that is water.
And why were you so surprised? No one ever thought to think, well, maybe there might be these vesicles of water sort of embedded in all these particles too.
Well, it's been long been suspected that the solar wind reacts with oxygen-rich minerals to form water. The problem is the amount of water formed is very small. And we just haven't had the analytical technology in the past to meaningfully distinguish between extraterrestrial water and terrestrial water when we try to detect this material in the laboratory.
So this was a case where you had a supposition that met up with the technology to prove it?
I think we are fortunate to live in an age where analytical technology, specifically electron microscopes, enable us to make the kinds of measurements we could not make as recently as 10 years ago.
So for people hearing, well, okay, so interplanetary dust was greatly responsible in part for bringing water to the planet. And, well, that's nice. But for you, you say there's a lot more that we should be paying attention to.
Well, I think that not only does this happen in the solar system, the delivery of small amounts of water and organic, but this is a galaxy-wide phenomenon. That is, wherever you have a star putting out a wind and silicate materials, which are the most abundant particle throughout the universe in interplanetary space, then water is being produced. And if water is being produced in this solar system in intimate contact with organic matter, and it's happening around stars throughout the galaxy, then the possibility is that life, if it's formed by this mechanism, is ubiquitous throughout the galaxy.
Which means there could be a lot more out there of varying degrees, and people have been looking for that for years too. But you have a caveat with this. Even though there may be a greater increase of the chances of finding it, it might not necessarily be at the same level as we would expect.
No, we really don't know whether this is how life got started in the solar system or in other astrophysical environments. What we do know is that this process is putting organics and water together on a very fine scale, at the nanometer scale. And of course, this is a scale at which molecular evolution takes place.
Well, is it? I mean, you're also saying that this is most likely taking place other places, but our ability, A, to find it might be impaired, or also maybe they don't want to be found.
Well, yes. I mean, if this has led to the evolution of life in other planetary systems, if that life is evolved enough to be able to be aware of our presence, they probably have very little incentive to reach out to us. They probably know better. If there is life in other systems that is less evolved than us, then, of course, there's no way they can ever be aware of us.
For quite a while.
For quite a while, yes.
What's the next step for this study?
Well, I think we have established the presence of water and organic matter in these particles. Now we'd like to take a closer look at the organic matter and see what kind of inventory of organic compounds are available and whether there's any link to the ultimate formation of biological systems.
Well, when you have that part finished, you'll have to come back.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
John Bradley is a research professor in Hawaii Institute of Geophysics and Planetology at the University of Hawaii. And in that position for all of a month now, he's the former director of the Institute of Geophysics and Planetary Physics at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in California. And the link to more information about the interplanetary dust research is on hpr2.org.